Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Kenya today. We thank the Lord for rain that we had yesterday. It's starting to get a bit dry here, but we thank the Lord for the rain. And I pray that you're doing well wherever you're at today. If you're in Kansas, I thank the Lord for Thanksgiving holiday, Thanksgiving celebration coming up in the days ahead, because it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It is a great thing to take time out of your schedule, have some time off from your work, but even greater than that is to set aside a time, a day, a weekend to just give thanks and focus on all the things that God has done for you. Give thanks and rejoice for the things that you have. Maybe it isn't the best that you can hope for, but you always have hope for tomorrow. And so we praise the Lord for that, for all of His bounty, His goodness. I'm going to open today in Psalm 147, since Thanksgiving is coming up here shortly. Verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on our harp to our God. Well, beloved, that is a good message to give today, considering how blessed we are here in the United States of America, and even here in Kenya, we are blessed in many ways. We don't have the material blessings that you do there in the USA, but we are blessed with a lot of good sunshine, a lot of good rain. The people here love each other for the most part. They take care of each other. They have a desire to see a lot of things better in their life. They have a desire to lift their standard of living higher. And that's all well and good. It gives them something hard to work for. It gives them some difficult goals to achieve. But overall, the people here really value life. They take care of their babies. Even the poorest of people deliver their babies, they have their babies, and they take care of them, they feed them, they nurture them, they protect them, they fight for food, they fight for protection and security, they fight for school fees, all the things that we take for granted in America, health care, medicine, all that, all those things are very difficult to come by here in Africa, and people have to really struggle and fight to achieve those things and attain those things. And yet when they do, they're very thankful, they're very grateful, they're very humble, they cry out to God, they praise God, they have a humility that people in America don't have. And so for all those reasons, I'm thankful for the people here in Africa, I'm thankful for the ministry here, and I praise the Lord along with you. There in the USA, I'm not going to be eating turkey on Thanksgiving Day, but I praise the Lord with you, and I give thanks and I rejoice for all things that the Lord has given me, a great family, beautiful children, grandchildren. We thank the Lord for the bounty of the material blessings, and because of those material blessings, because of that bounty and that wealth and that abundance that we have in the USA, we can minister to people around the world. We can send missionaries out, and we can rejoice in the fact that we have abundance in America. And because of that, we can send missionaries out. Because of that, we can share the gospel. And beloved, that is the reason why God brought the United States of America into existence. He ordained this nation. He ordained it and set it aside. He consecrated it to be the greatest missionary sending nation in the world that the world has ever known in the history of mankind. The USA raises the banner of Jesus Christ higher than any nation has ever raised it. Outside of the nation of Israel, God's own chosen people, the U.S. is ordained and sanctified, set aside to be a beacon of light to the world, to be a beacon of light to the dark places all over the world. Every corner of the world has been impacted by the message of the gospel having been sent out from the United States of America. And so for that, we give thanks, we praise the Lord, and we look forward in the days ahead to be an even greater beacon of light to bring more people into the kingdom and to share the good news of the gospel with people here in Africa, Asia, Central America, America, all over the world, really by the internet, via the internet and the website broadcasts. And so we praise the Lord for that opportunity, and we give thanks with you as you celebrate Thanksgiving. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'm going to go on here now with the message of suffering for Jesus. This is part two of the message that I started last week. Suffering for Jesus. Paul talked about in Philippians 3:10 that he wanted to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wanted to have an intimate walk with Jesus, to the point where he knew the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to the point where he had fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus. Paul wanted to know the depth of the suffering. He wanted to know the depth of the power that motivated, the power that lifted Jesus up from the grave. And so Paul was walking in an intimate walk with Jesus. There's probably nobody on the earth that has ever walked in the same way, maybe Moses and King David, but other than that, there's probably been nobody on the earth that has walked with the Lord like the Apostle Paul. And he ended up knowing the depth of the suffering to some degree that Jesus suffered, because the Apostle Paul gave up his head. He had his head chopped off, as history records it. He had his head chopped off when he was a prisoner in Rome, and so that was the end of his ministry and the end of his life. But he was in the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, so he knew something of the depth of the suffering of Jesus. And I'm sure when Paul got to heaven, he rejoiced with his master and savior and said, Now I know, master, I know what you went through. I have a feeling for what you gave up and what you suffered on that cross for me and for all mankind. Well, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if I was preaching, I would say in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then Paul goes on to talk in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Beloved, if you are a born-again believer and you confess the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are not ashamed of the gospel, and you are not ashamed or afraid to give your testimony and speaking in front of kings or speaking in front of homeless people or speaking in front of people in the prisons or wherever God places you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer for the gospel's sake. You will suffer persecutions. You may even suffer persecutions from people in the church, people that you know and love, your brothers and sisters, even in the body of Christ, will sometimes persecute you. And that will be a mystery, and it will baffle you how that can happen. But beloved, it certainly happens, because some people in the church want to control, they want to manipulate, they want to hold you down, they want to keep you from seeking everything that the Lord has for you. And so even people in the church will persecute you and try to hold you down and control you. And so you will suffer persecution if you are a believer and you call on the name of Jesus Christ. And so for those of you who have not accepted Jesus, for those of you who are listening to this broadcast today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you've never confessed him as your Lord and Savior, Let me just say this to you today. You will rejoice in knowing Jesus Christ. You will have peace beyond all understanding. You will have a purpose and a destiny revealed to you when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I am not going to tell you today that everything in your life is certainly suddenly going to become peaches and cream and a bowl of cherries. That is not the way it works. And so if you have an idea, or you've heard about the prosperity gospel that some people, preachers out there, are preaching, that all you're going to have is prosperity, you're going to have a new car in your driveway and all the money that you want, and God is just going to make everything wonderful in the material sense, I hate to pour cold water on your parade, but that is not going to happen for you. If you desire that for yourself, if you desire just riches for yourself, and that is your motivation for seeking God and seeking Jesus, you are seeking Him for the wrong reason, and you will be very disappointed in your Christian walk when persecution comes to you, and when trials and tribulations comes to you, you're going to be crying out to the Lord and say, Lord, why are you picking on me? Where did you go? Why did you abandon me? What is happening in my Christian walk? Beloved, the Christian walk is a race. It is a race, and it will consume you, and it will engage you until the very last breath that you take upon this earth. And the race is just like any race with a group of runners. There will be people sometimes ahead of you. There will be sometimes people behind you, and there will be people beside you, and there may even be people trying to pull you back and pull you down and slow you down, push you off the track. And that is just part of living life. But beloved, you will have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, abiding in you. And so when you run that race, when you confess Jesus, all who endure to the end shall be saved. And so you shall not be ashamed. The blood of Jesus covers you in every situation, protects you, but you will have trials, you will have tribulation, you will have heartache, and you will have heartbreak just because you are a believer. You may even at some point have to give up your life. I don't know what all is going to happen in the years ahead in America, but I can tell you this. There is going to be persecution coming like we have never seen for Christians, and you can already see the handwriting on the wall. It is going to be persecution for Christians like we have never known in the United States of America. And if you are a believer and you're not ashamed of the gospel, you will be caught up in it. You will be suffering that persecution. And if you go to another country to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of the gospel, you may give up your life. You may be called upon to suffer in ways that you never imagined, suffering for the Christ Jesus. And so this is the message. It's the alternative to the prosperity gospel. And I'm not saying God isn't going to prosper you. He will. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have good things, a good life. But beloved, along with that, you're going to receive persecutions, and you're going to receive trials and tribulations that will test your faith, test what you believe about God and your walk with the Lord. Well, Paul goes on to say here in 2 Corinthians 12:7, about a thorn in the flesh that God gave him, which caused him great suffering. And this thorn in the flesh was given to him, by the way, after Paul was given revelation of heaven. Paul was taken up in the spirit to heaven, and the Lord spoke to him. The Lord gave him revelation of things that needed to be taken care of on earth, the reason why Paul was on the earth and his ministry, his destiny, and what he must suffer for the Lord Jesus while he was on the earth. And so the Apostle Paul then was given a thorn in the flesh, and he talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, and he's talking about the revelations that he received in heaven, A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Can't you just see the Lord Jesus talking to Paul and saying, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Or for your strength is made perfect in weakness. Or Jesus would say, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, beloved, that is a good motto for our life, that you can take joy, and this takes a lot of discipline, this takes a lot of training, this takes a lot of trusting in the Lord, this takes a lot of understanding of how God works in your life. And for a baby believer, again, you're going to be mystified when trials and tribulations and suffering and persecutions come your way, because that is not the concept you have of an all-loving, all-caring God. But I can tell you, God allows persecution. He will allow Satan to come into your life and attack you. He will allow Satan to come in and try to sift you like wheat. And so if you are not prepared for that, if you don't have a good relationship with your Lord, if you don't have an understanding of how God works in your life, you're going to be very mystified, and you're going to want to get angry with God and shake your fist at him and pretend like you don't hear from him. But God is saying, I am with you, just like he said, just like Jesus said in this passage. He said to the Apostle Paul that your strength, Paul, is made perfect in weakness. And when you are weak, then you have to depend on God. If you have an understanding of that, the weak have to depend on God. That's why people in Africa cry out so much to the Lord. When you're in a service with them, they are crying out to the Lord. They're praying with passion, with a zeal like you have never seen before. And they cry out to God because they are weak. They have very little in terms of material blessings. They have great faith, but in the material life, they are very short. And so when they are weak, when we are weak, Jesus said, I will make you strong. And so Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, Paul says basically the same thing in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And Paul says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And so, beloved, when we have persecution, God uses that persecution to build character in us. We become strong. We become stronger in our faith. We don't want to quit. And so we hang in there when the tough gets going, and when we can't hear from God, we haven't had any encouragement from him, we go to the Bible and we say, God, show me where in your word that it says that you're going to encourage me. And he says here in Romans 5:3, we rejoice in tribulations, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Well, James, the brother of Jesus, says approximately the same thing. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. That's that same word that we saw there in Romans. That the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so James says, count it all joy. Well, beloved, that is a very hard thing to do when we lose family members, or we lose loved ones, or we have sickness, or friends and family members have sickness, or we have financial difficulties or persecution. It's very, very difficult to count it all joy. It's not human nature for us to get up and say, thank you, Jesus, for taking my loved ones. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me sickness or giving my loved ones sickness. Thank you, Jesus, for financial difficulty and shortchanging. And you are not of that nature to do that. That goes against everything that we know as believers. It goes against everything that we are taught when we are children. And yet we can, because we know that God is with us, that He will never abandon us, He will never forsake us, we can thank God in every situation. We can praise Him in the storm, even when we don't see our change coming. We praise Him, we thank Him. We said, Lord, I don't see my change coming, but I know it's coming. I know that you have something better for me tomorrow than what I have today. I know that I have hope coming. And so when you do that, then God is pleased with that. He is going to bless you. He's poured out His blessings upon you. And beloved, the trial, just fleeting trials. Paul talks about this in Romans 8, verse 18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Beloved, all of creation is groaning. That includes us, that includes the earth, that includes all the livestock, the beasts of the field. Even the trees and the rocks cry out, and they are groaning because the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And the birthing of a new heaven and a new earth is coming. We are just in a fleeting situation here. We are in a situation where this earth is here in a temporary fashion, a new heaven, new earth. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 21, 22. A new heaven and a new earth is coming. You also will have a glorified body, and you will be part of that new heaven and new earth if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Well, beloved, I think Paul probably spoke that scripture after he had visited heaven, because after he had been taken up in the spirit to visit heaven, because he had been given a close-up bird's-eye view of heaven. He knew the glory that was yet to come. He knew the glory that was going to be revealed. And so it was easier, you might say, for him to say that the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared to the glory that is yet to come. For God showed Paul that he was going to have a great reward for him in heaven. And beloved, the same thing can be said for you. God has a great reward for those who love Him, for those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God has a great reward for you, and you will be rewarded. The glory that is yet to come will be greater than anything that you may suffer here or any glory that you may have here on this earth. Beloved, the best is yet to come. And so I urge you to give thanks. I urge you to pour yourself into the gospel. I urge you to pour yourself into your destiny, into your Christian walk. Let the Lord use you in ways that you can't even imagine for yourself, but just let the Lord use you and ask the Lord to reveal your destiny, your calling to you, so that you can bring glory and honor to His name while you're here on the earth, and then you will receive your reward when you get to heaven. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank God for that, all the support, the prayers, the donations over the many years, and for the projects in Africa. I pray that you would get alongside this ministry, partner with us, sit down today, write out a letter, write out a check, make a donation to this ministry, and you will be blessed. The Lord will be pleased, and the glory that is coming to you because you share in the gospel, you share in the message of the gospel, the good news, as I take it to the nations of the earth and to here in Africa, that you will share in that. And beloved, that is a great thing for you to do. It is a great thing, and the Lord will bless you accordingly. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.